Hi, good morning, everyone. Let us pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, we dedicate the first fruit of this morning to you as we spend time this morning in the sanctuary, Father, just to set apart a short moment of the morning to worship you, to hear your word, and to pray and to be intimate with you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit is here with us right now, encouraging us this day, starting us on the right footing. Lord, setting the tone for the rest of the day, Lord. And I pray that you speak through me in the words that you have written in Romans 12. And Lord, may you bring out some deeper message that would resonate with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we'll be going through Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Now, there's so much to unpack in these verses. Frankly, you could actually do a sermon on every single verse and do a whole series on these marks of what it means to be a Christian. Today, I want to focus in particular on verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Now, when people think about being fervent in the spirit, the classic image is that of a fire and brimstone preacher or a missionary. Someone that literally uses the Bible to whack people along the side of the head. Old school style preaching, old school style ministry. Very in your face, to the point where you feel so burdened or nervous to be around a Christian who is so powerful and fervent in spirit. That's usually the image used by the secular media to describe a Christian that is on the road protesting for something for the Lord, using inverted commas. Now, when I was younger, I too was very fervent in spirit. For example, I remember that I had a very bad habit of picking apart my pastor's messages, and I would send them very long emails telling them how they could do something about their message to improve it. I did that when I was in Beijing. I was there for a short period of time after studies. And I remember attending a church there, and the message just didn't jive with me. So I wrote them a thesis on how they could improve the message. And I gave it to them. It was a 20-page thesis. And that was, they actually said I was very passionate. I'm sure it was a euphemism for something else. I also spent time at Hyde Park in London, debating with Muslims and people of many different religions, including Rastafarians, And it was very interesting, to say the least. People there were very passionate. In fact, I find it very amusing because there would be tourists who would go to Hyde Park to Speaker's Corner, not knowing what it was. And then when they got there, the culture there is when you get there, you debate. That's the thing. It's not just an attraction. You actually have to participate. And you would find many unassuming tourists going there thinking they can just take a few photos, and then someone suddenly engages you in combat. And that's what Speaker's Corner was like. And then also when I was in my university in London, I would go up to people on Friday and Saturday nights telling them, do they know Jesus? I'm sure, extremely, extremely loving thing to do in the middle of their journey towards a club. I would speak to them as they're queuing up, waiting. And I said, what else are you doing anyway? You're just waiting to get in. And to say the least, there are many of these episodes which have annoyed my parents to no end. They would be waiting for me late at night for dinner, only to find out that I spent a few hours with some beggars on the street speaking to them and telling them about Jesus as well. And so these are things that I did when I was younger, and obviously I don't do as much of that anymore, if at all. So some people have said, Jackie, you've lost the fervency. You've mellowed out. Yet, it's funny because as I meditate on these passages, I would say, I would hope that anyway, that I'm actually no less fervent today than I was 10 years or 20 years ago. Rather, the question is, what am I fervent for? Not so much of the fact that I feel emotionally fervent or fervent in conduct. The question is, who or what drives my passion and what makes my blood and spirit boil? Now clearly, when you read these verses, you'll see that Paul is actually doing a word play here, because he says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. He's doing an antithesis. He's saying sloth versus zeal, sloth versus fervency in spirit. Now, when you actually understand the word sloth, and obviously the English language is always only going to capture an angle of what Paul is really saying here in the Greek, what he is describing is someone who is shrinking, someone who's hesitating, unready, timid, someone who is actually falling backwards. That's actually what he means by the word sloth. But when he talks about someone that is fervent, he's talking about someone who is burning. Actually, the word is boiling, seething, and bubbling. Now, when was the last time any of us here felt that emotion of being fervent? And not just being passionate, but actually seething, boiling on the inside. Now, even that word, one would usually associate with anger. How? When one feels wronged. When one's ego and their reputation and their work is unrecognized or unjustly trampled upon. So how then is Paul using such a strong word and to channel it towards serving the Lord? Because verse 11 is actually about serving the Lord. Well, the reality is, sadly, even for me, is that it's very easy to look at verse 11 and stop there and not read it in its context, which is why we read verses 9 to 20 today. Because if we stop there, only reading verse 11, then yes, you could say that I used to be fervent and I no longer am. Because if fervent is simply about the seething emotion, yes, I've lost all of that today. But actually, I don't think that is what the Bible means by being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's precisely why Paul couched verse 11 amongst many other verses in this chapter about the marks of being a Christ follower. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor evil. Hold fast to what's good. Verse 10, outdo one another on showing honor. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Associate with the lowly. never be wise in your own sight. Verse 17, give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, meaning not just what is honorable to you and to me, but honorable even in the sight of others. Verse 18, we do not avenge ourselves. Verse 19, we overcome evil with good. Now let's try to really meditate on what these could mean in practice if you were to practice them differently. Because conceptually, I'm sure all of us agree with verses 9 to 20. We know that these are things that we should all be doing. Again, theoretically. But imagine a Christian doing these things with sloth, a slothful attempt at loving genuinely, a slothful attempt at rejoicing in hope. Now, I would even go one step further and say that my old days of being quote-unquote fervent is actually not what these verses are talking about at all. So what if I preach or evangelize with fire, but I fail to love with affection? What if I share the gospel every single day with my neighbors, with my coworkers, but I have zero empathy and emotional bandwidth to weep with those who hurt, or even fail to consider what is honorable to the people around me? So what if I bring people to come to EMP, go to house church, so on and so forth, and yet I have a tendency to avenge myself, to defend myself, and always speak lowly of my enemies, to keep them out of my mind and out of my sight? Now, I might be fervent in emotion, I might be fervent in character, I might be fervent in conduct, but I actually ended up being slothful as a Christian, slothful in all the other marks and fruit of the Spirit, certainly slothful to all the marks that Paul describes in Romans 12. Now let's compare that to being in the presence of a brother or a sister who passionately and fervently, using the word fervent, actually boiling and seething to do what? Not to be angry. Imagine someone clenching their fist, but not out of anger, not out of protection of one's own ego, but actually seething and boiling to do what? To seek your honor. Boiling and seething to rejoice in what is good. Boiling and seething to be patient when things are not going well. Boiling and seething in rejoicing and weeping in equal amounts to those who want to rejoice and to those who are in the middle of a tragedy. Those who passionately do not defend themselves, but passionately defend the honor of others. Compare the image, and that's what Paul is doing right here. What is sloth and what is zeal? What is sloth and what is being fervent? Because it's only when one obeys with that level of zeal that the recipient, our neighbors, will receive life. So much life, overpouring life. Whereas if one is slothful in loving affectionately, well, you might as well not be loving at all. Because how can one do that? It almost doesn't actually make sense. So remember, brothers and sisters, it doesn't just matter whether we're trying to obey God. Actually, it really does matter how we obey. It really does matter when we are not fervent in spirit serving the Lord. We are very much like a dim light that is running out of battery in pitch darkness. Like a fire that is about to be extinguished in a cold evening. Like a shower that has turned lukewarm or even cold. As I end this short devotion, I want us to spend some time really praying and meditating. Where is our heart this day, this morning? Are we so focused on obeying God's literal commands, and have we forgotten the very, very basic aspect of how God wants us to do it in a way that is filled with the Spirit, filled with His passion, not losing that sense of wonder and awe? Have we taken that anger, have we taken that boiling, seething emotion and only applied it towards being angry for oneself, when God is very much saying, no, these emotions are good, but apply it in a way where you can obey me and embrace your neighbors through that obedience? Because only through that, only when we spend time this morning before God meditating what He has done for us on the cross, meditating what it means to walk before Him in a way that is filled with fervent spirit, that we can then be that strong light in the night to light the path of others. Only then can we be that fire that gives warmth to others in a cold night, or a hot shower that refreshes us after a long, burdensome day, or like this morning, a good time of prayer and intimacy with God, because only that will shake us out of our slumber. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, Romans 12, verses 9 to 20 are by no means long passages. It is refreshingly concise. It is straightforward. It is clear. It does not require a seminary degree to understand what Paul is saying here. And yet, these verses are so incredibly hard to carry out. Inevitably, we will run out of the emotional bandwidth to be fervent. We will run out of passion. We will lose hope. And that's precisely why we're here in the sanctuary this morning. We're weak. We're unable. We are not able to generate that passion within ourselves. And that's why we pray to you, God. May you guide us. We invite your Spirit into our hearts. Help light the fire within. Whatever sloth I might have committed, whatever laziness I had in carrying out your commands, Lord, we repent and humble ourselves before you, God. We repent and humble ourselves before you. And Lord, we invite your Spirit to convict us, to enter our lives, to transform us, and to ignite in us the childlike innocence of the faith that we had, the first love that we had, and that I pray we still continue to hold, of that awe and wonder when we walk with you, when we see your face. It is only with that awe and wonder that we will have the spirit to be fervent. So Lord, this morning, I pray that we dedicate ourselves to you in that way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. And the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Faithful, and all my life you have. of your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived of the goodness of God.
Sisters, as we sang that song this morning, I will sing of the goodness of God. With all the breath that I am able, I will sing with the goodness of God. The question is, do we really do that? Or do we only sing of the goodness of God when things are going well? When we got a job that we wanted? When we ended up with a spouse that we love? When the circumstances are on the rise, do we only sing of the goodness of God then? Or is the goodness of God constant? Because the most constant thing in our lives this morning is actually the gospel. That's why it's the good news. Because it doesn't matter what our lives are like right now, the gospel will always be good news. Always be good news. Always something that we should be passionate and fervent about. Because that is what will transform us and our neighbors' lives. Because if the gospel isn't good news to us in all circumstances, then it certainly isn't good news at all. Holy Spirit, I pray that this morning, in this simple, short sharing, and as we meditate on the worship song that we just sang, Lord, we meditate on your goodness, because only then can we serve you well. Only then can we serve you with the right heart, not just to play at religion, not just to play at church, but to really love genuinely, to outdo one another with honor, to love our enemies, to outdo evil with good. None of these things are possible if the gospel is not gospel to us, if we're not willing to sing of the goodness of God with all that I am able. And Lord, we thank you for this time in the sanctuary, allowing us to draw close to you so that you would draw close to us. Thank you, Lord. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. And let us pray for the community and pray for those who have been diagnosed with cancer, and just pray that the treatment will go well and that they will be healed of cancer. Let's pray for that. Let's now pray for those that are ill and have yet to meet with Christ. Let's pray that the gospel will be swiftly carried to them and that they also receive physical healing from their ailments as well. Let's pray for that. Let's also pray for those with infirmities within our community or the community's extended relationships. Let's also pray for those that are looking for jobs and pray that the Lord would open the door, and so help them to use this time, Father, to just draw close to you as they prepare their way for the next opportunity that you'll present to them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the various things that are happening in the city, the healthcare system, government wealth gap, revival, the churches, sports services, Shanti, YWAM, Ga, catering, S&D, Mother's Choice, Hong Korean Church, the students, domestic helpers, families in distress. So a lot of things to pray for. Let's intercede for the city and for all these communities right now. Let's pray next for the staff at this church. Let's pray for P. Sam, P. Nate, P. Selamat, P. Kenny, P. Samuel, P. Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Monica, who is serving us here this morning, Rachel Ngan, Cadence, Caleb, Rachel Chow, Wesley, Tracy, and Ben. Pray for the staff who are able to participate in an extended time away to really retreat and to advance, I guess, and to really just spend quality time with God today. And pray for Monica, who's serving us this morning faithfully. Let's pray for all of us, all of them. Let's pray for education at SP. Let's pray for SP Kids, led by Lisa. Let's pray for SP Youth, led by Caleb, and SPU, led by Pastor Nate. And let's pray for all the kids, all the youth, and all the students that are attending these fellowships, that they really, really grow in their knowledge and desire for the Lord. Let's pray for those that are serving in worship and sound, Pastor Nate and Wesley, and also the AV team, Rachel Chow. Let's pray that the Lord really just inspires them to continue to lead us well in that area. And Lord, that you draw more and more people with your gifts to serve in those ministries. Let's pray for the ladies in our church that are pregnant right now, Jessica, Catherine, Clara, and others. Let's pray that the pregnancy is a smooth journey, that the mothers and the parents are going to have some amazing spiritual insights in this journey. And I pray that for those that are close to delivery, that they will deliver well and that they will remain healthy in all this. Let's pray for that. Lastly, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Fontana, Hopewell, New Praia, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the leaders and that they're able to draw from the retreat some key points for discussion that would really motivate people to practice what they have learned in the past week, not for the retreat to be a simply isolated experience, but that this will really carry with them and really help to push them forward in the different ministries that each of the members are part of. Let's pray that you equip the leaders and also prepare soft soil in the hearts of the leaders and the members of these house churches. Let's pray for them. Lord Jesus, we just thank you again for this morning. And Lord, we just dedicate the remainder of this morning to you. Lord, may you bless us in this time. And we just pray that we'll hear from you and that we experience your comfort this morning to set the foundation for the rest of our day and week. And God, I pray that for those of us that are off to work later this morning, I pray that you really bless the work of our hands. That we dedicate our work to you. We dedicate our co-workers to you. Teach us how to honor them. Teach us how to serve them, how to love them, and also how to do the work in a way that is faithful, as if we're working for you, Lord. And God, please guide us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.